Amen. Well, good to see baptisms continually, isn't it? Amen. All right, let me try that again. Are baptisms good or bad? Oh, okay. All right. Turn to Daniel 9. Daniel 9, as we finish out the chapter of this chapter in Daniel, in verse number 20. If you don't have a Bible, which I don't, Rusty, I left my Bible. If you could help me. I went to pray and forgot it. Thank you. Give it up for Rusty. Yay, Rusty. All right. Daniel 9:20. If you don't have a Bible, I was starting to say, we have one for you, hopefully in the seat rack somewhere around you. It's the blue Bible, and that is our gift to you. It's on page 838 in that copy of God's Word. And just write your name in that and bring it back with you every week. All right, now, as we're getting there, you ever wonder why God seems to take his time in your life, that he just kind of, like, maybe he should get some extreme OCD angel as his executive assistant for all of his God scheduling or something? Oh, all right, help me now, Lord. Yay! All right, that was going to bother me, the whole talk about OCD, that was going to bother me all day. But that, you know, he, and you're like, you might say, like, okay, John, but you know, God lives in eternity and he's not really into calendars and schedules and things like that. He's above all that kind of stuff, you know, at least where it pertains to us. Well, you'd be wrong. We're going to look at God calendaring some things and prophecy in Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 20. If you're with me, say, I'm with you. All right, verse number 20. Now, I've told you before, but if you're here new, I like to write in my Bible. It helps me. I color code things. I'm very visual in that. So I tell you what I write. You can do what you want in your copy. But he picks it up in verse number 20. While I was speaking, this is Daniel, and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, that's Jerusalem. While I was speaking in prayer, Gabriel, he's an angel, but he appears in the form of a man here. The man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He, Gabriel, made me to understand, speaking with me and saying, O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out. So as soon as you started to pray, God said, all right, take this answer to Daniel, and that's my duty. And I've come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. So pay attention to this thing, study it. God wants you to know what he's about to do. And then he comes into the prophecy. 70 weeks, circle that, we'll come back to that, are decreed or scheduled about your people and your holy city to do six things, to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint the most or a most holy place. Then he says this, know therefore and understand that, now I underlined each word, from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem. That's the start of the clock, the prophetic clock. We'll come back to that. To the coming of the anointed one, I circled that. That's the Hebrew word Messiah, and it really means Messiah, anointed one. A prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Out in my margin, I put 7 times 7, because we'll see that. For 62 weeks, I put 62 times 7 out in the margin. It shall be built again with squares and moat, but in a troubled time. After the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off. I circle anointed one, that's the Messiah, shall be cut off, double underline, and shall have nothing. And the people of, I circled this, the prince who is to come, and wrote out in my margin, Antichrist. The prince who is to come, the people of him, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with the flood, and to the end of time, there shall be war, desolations are decreed. And he, Antichrist, shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. So I put off in the margin 1 times 7. And for a half of the week, 3.5, he shall put an end to the sacrifice and offerings. And on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. That's totally clear, right? We're looking today at when Jesus shows up. When Jesus shows up, God's perfect timing in my personal trials. And I don't know about you, but in my personal trials, I need Jesus to show up. Amen? I want Jesus to show up. I want God to show up. I want answer to prayer. I want to feel his presence. And there are trials going in our church. I mean, there's many. Many of you have carried them right in, you know, through the lobby and into this room. We had just did a funeral for one of our long-term, matter of fact, she was on our staff for a while, Trish Poyadu, this last Friday, 53 years old, has a brain bleed and dies. And her husband Barry was in the first service. But that was rough, and he's still going through it. This Thursday, we have a funeral for a 25-year-old young man who many of you have been reading about in the news, James Moody, who is a correctional officer and stopped on Route 64 or 264 to help somebody that had an accident, and some drunk driver ran him over. And he lived for 28 days and then passed away because his body just couldn't take it. And his mom and stepdad were in the earlier service as well. His funeral's on Thursday. They need Jesus to show up. We had another guy, Reggie Bonney, who he was here last night. Last Wednesday or something, all of a sudden we get a thing. Hey, Reggie just had a stroke. Reggie's my age. And he told me when I realized something was happening, I couldn't talk. I thought, this is it. I'm going to see Jesus. But his wife stood there and said, but he's not done with you yet. Amen. So I need Jesus to show up in my trials. Will he? And so if you're looking at the record, based on the angel's prophetic word to Daniel in this 9th chapter of the book that bears his name, a good question, fair question is Jesus going to show up for me, John? Is he going to show up for me? And if you look at this text, it's like, and by the way, this is one of the most difficult texts in the Bible prophetically to understand, to get right. And so I was deep into it this week. Three things jump out at us from this text. Number one, and there are 3 points. How many points? Three points. So if you're a writer or taker of noters, you write this down. Number one, Jesus showed up right on time the first time. He showed up right on time. What do you mean right on time the first time? I mean, Jesus wasn't just lounging around heaven from eternity past, kind of got bored and said, hey, Father, you know what I think I'll do? You know, that earth that we created, you know, hundreds of years ago or whatever. I think I'm going to take a trip down there and man, I'll be gone 3 years. And it wasn't just kind of like, shoot from the hip. Jesus showed up right on time the first time. In verse 24, he talks about 70 weeks. Now we will, come on now. Now I did this and I don't know what I'm doing. Help me, Lord. Wait a second. Just talk amongst yourselves. All right. All right, what do I do, guys, in the back? Because I thought I was doing good. Home? No. All right, here comes, yay. Zach, help me out, brother. All right, now don't look at the man behind the curtain. All right, I'll just keep going. All right. In verse, look at you. Liz, give that man a raise. All right, see if this works. Oh, that works too. 70 weeks. I wonder if the Apostle Paul had these problems. Our decreed or scheduled about your people, that's the Jews and your holy city, that's Jerusalem, to do all of these things that we're going to look at in a second. 70 weeks are decreed. And you're like, 70 weeks? Okay, what does that mean? The Amplified Version kind of clarifies that a little bit. 70 weeks of years. And weeks in the Hebrew just means sevens. All right, 77s of years, or how many years? Say it louder. 490 are decreed or promised about your people. That's 70 times 7. That is what God says, all right, I'm going to work with you, and then it's basically going to be done. I mean, the earth and everything, going to be done. But, okay, John, to do what? To do what? To finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for iniquity. That's one section. And then to bring in everlasting righteousness, seal both vision and prophet, boom, stamp it, it's done, and to anoint a most holy place, the eternal temple at the end. These have to do with the cross. Finish the transgression, put an end to sin, atone for iniquity. And these have to do with eternity future. All right, doesn't that look like heaven? Yeah, it's my idea of it. So this is the countdown to the end. This is the countdown to the end, not just to the cross of Christ, that first coming, but also to the return of Christ, the second coming. You're like, well, okay, so 490 years. And then it's going to be basically done. And then we're going to go into the new heaven and new earth and all that stuff. Yeah, basically. So then you're like, well, okay, but you told us, John, a few weeks ago that we couldn't know exactly when Jesus was going to come back. But if I know it's going to be 490 years, all I have to know is the start date. And then I'm going to know exactly when Jesus came back. And by the way, John, since this has been written, it's a lot longer than 490 years. I get that. And don't get ahead. All right, don't get ahead of me. In verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem, that's the start date. We'll see that. To the coming of the anointed one, a prince shall be 7 weeks, and for 62 weeks it shall be built again with squares and moat, but in a troubled time. So I want you to pay attention. God is doing what Miss Robin does to me. She has an iPhone. And for years I didn't have an iPhone because I kind of despise them because they took over your life, yes? And so I had an old man flip phone. And it didn't take over my life, but it was a pain in the patootie. So finally I got an iPhone. So now I've got an iPhone. She has an iPhone. And if she wants to do something on the family calendar, she just puts it in her calendar and she does something like share with John. And then it comes to my phone, boing, and I can accept it or reject it. Now, you know what I do, because I like marriage, so I accept it. And so that's what God's doing to us. He's like, all right, here's what I'm doing. I'm downloading to you what I'm doing. And so you need to understand and accept it. Get it, because it's going to change your life. And there are, as we go through this text, it just kind of boom, 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 boom. These things are coming at, well, all of them but one has happened. But they hadn't happened when Daniel prophesied this. They were still to come. First, the commencement of the count. God is saying and sharing with us, that's a total period of 490 years that are going to transpire before Jesus finishes his total assignment on this earth. All right, when did the count begin? Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem. God says, all right, when that happens, it hadn't happened at that time, then boom, I press the start button on this thing, this 490 years. You're like, okay, well, you said that had happened. It already happened, even though it hadn't happened when Daniel was prophesying it. When did it happen? Write this down, but don't go there. You can check it out this afternoon. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. That is when the king told Nehemiah, you remember, the Jews had been captured because they had disobeyed God. They'd worshiped idols. They'd sacrificed children. So then God said, all right, y'all do this stuff. I'm gonna do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to spank your butt. But if you still don't listen to me, I'm going to send a nation that are pagans who's going to come. They're going to take over your land. They're going to burn everything down, and they're going to bring you to their land as slaves. And that happened, King Nebuchadnezzar. And so they're like, okay, but there's going to be a time when we come back. God said, yeah, I'll send you back after 70 years. And they knew that prophecy. And so then a pagan king, God worked on his heart, actually three different kings, to send different amounts of Jews back to start rebuilding that city that had been burned to the ground. And this one happened in Nehemiah 2. In verses 1 through 5. That was the year 445, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica. All right? So the Jewish calendar, you're like, what's that date? Their calendar is different than ours. You convert it to our calendar, March the 14th, 445 BC. Now, Today's message is a bit techier than normal, all right? You have to track with me. We're going to have this really scary thing we're talking about called math, all right? So track it. Bring out your calculators because you're going to need them, all right? So that's the commencement of the countdown. When that happened, when that king said to Nehemiah, and Nehemiah said, I just want to go back home and rebuild. I mean, my city's burned down. I hear horrible things. I just wish I could go back and rebuild the city. And God grabbed the king's, pagan king's heart, and he goes, I'll tell you what, you go, man, you go, and I'll finance it. Woo, look at God. March the 14th, 445 BC. That's when the command was given to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, and the button was pressed. Go, start the commencement of the countdown. And then after that, what happens? What's prophesied? The construction of the city. So now they're going to go and they're going to construct the city. That's what they were hoping to do. Now, therefore, understand, from the going out of the word to restore and build the Jerusalem, so that starts the clock, to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. So remember, these are seven sevens. So 7 times 7, what is it? 49, very good. Some of you are working ahead. So in 49 years, Jerusalem was rebuilt. It took them that long to get the whole thing up, and God said that it would be right on time. So you got the commencement of the count, and then you have the construction of the city. Are you tracking with me? Say, I'm tracking. All right, next calendar event is the coming of the Christ, the coming of Christ. In verse 25, he says again, hey, and when this thing, the clock starts, and to rebuild Jerusalem, that thing, the king says, do it, do it, do it. God says, go to the coming of an anointed one or a Messiah, a prince. There shall be 7 weeks. For 62 weeks, it'll be built again with squares. That just means that city was so burned down and razed that they had to totally start over and build the public squares, the streets, and then the protection, a moat. But it's going to be in a troubled time. So 62 times 7, what is it? 434 years. All right. So, and then the 7 times 7 is how many? 49. Okay, so those together is 483 years. 483 years to the Messiah. Math is hard. Track with me. Track with me, all right? So 483 years. Say 483 years. From the time that God pressed the start button and made that king say, okay, you can go back to Jerusalem and rebuild it. From that time, boom, God says, go. 483 years are going to transpire until Messiah shows up. This is specific prophecy. Hundreds of years before that happened. So God, through his angel Gabriel, is saying in 483 years, from the time that command is given to restore, that is when Messiah is going to show up and present himself as your Messiah. Now, those of you who are math geeks and you know who you are, you can look around and see them. They got the pocket protectors. All right. Hey, you're going to go out this afternoon and you're going to check me. You're going to go, well, John was slightly wrong. Wrong. I'm not wrong. You're wrong. Why am I wrong? Because you're using our calendar, 365 days a year. The Jewish calendar had 360 days a year. So you have to factor that in, okay? So it'll make sense in a bit. Now, from the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until God promised that Messiah, the prince, is going to show up, 483 years times, do your math, 360 days in a year, 483 times 360 gives us what? 173,880 days. 173,880 days. You're like, okay, all right, John, my head's spinning. Get ready for hallelujah. Here it comes, here it comes. The Lord Jesus began his public ministry in AD 29. Well, how do we know that, John? Because the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 or 3, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, and we know when he started reigning, and we can get that not from just the Bible, but also from history, nail that down. So in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, John the Baptist started his ministry, and then Jesus started right on the heels of John the Baptist, basically almost the same time. So we know when Jesus' ministry started, AD 29, three Passovers later, After Jesus began his public ministry, he's been ministering for 3 years, he makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, offering himself as their Messiah. We call that Palm Sunday. If you're reading along with us in the New Testament, read along with Point Harbor, you just read that this past week, right? So how do we know when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem? Again, we don't have to guess on this because they date the Passover, which then is when he did that. That's why Easter changes every year because it goes along with the moon, right? They date that by the moon, the Paschal moon, they call that. And that date was April the 6th, AD 32. Why is that so important, John? Why is that so important? Because how many days did we say it would be from the command, God pushing the start button, to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince is offered? 173,880 days. Now listen to me. According to our calculations by folks a lot smarter than me, April the 6th, AD 32 was exactly 173,880 days from the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem that Jesus showed up and said, hey, I'm your Messiah. Amen? Yeah, that should be a hallelujah right there. All right? Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem right on the dot. Bam! Nailed it. Nailed it. It was in the word of God that day that had been prophesied. It was. And Jesus, matter of fact, he right before he came in, the scripture talks about him looking over Jerusalem and tears coming down his face and saying to Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings if only you knew the day of your visitation. The day. But he knew they're going to reject him. And he was rejected as their Messiah. Yeah, no thanks. We were looking for somebody a little more flashy. Which then, as prophesied, leads to the crucifixion of Christ. Verse 26, and after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be what? Say louder. Cut off. And shall have nothing. That refers to the death penalty. God's specific prophecy, the Messiah presented to Israel would be crucified. Isaiah 53 uses the same language, and this is hundreds of years before, prophesying about Jesus. He was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. That is what this is all about, is that we deserve hell. Some of you don't know that or you don't think that. You think that, well, you know, the evil people deserve hell. Hitler obviously did, you know, Mussolini, those guys, Pol Pot. But, you know, John, I just think that God, you know, he looks at my good works and he looks at my bad works. And as long as my good works outweigh my bad works, then he's okay with me. Because, I mean, you know, I'm a pretty good person, John. I'm a pretty good person. And I believe, intellectually, I believe in Jesus. And if you die in that condition, you split hell wide open. Those aren't my words. Those are Jesus' words. Jesus is rough. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And that doesn't just mean, well, I like Jesus, I believe in Jesus. But no, I have the blood of Jesus on my heart and soul. Because he went to the cross. He died for my sins, not his, your sins. He went to that grave. 3 days later, he's resurrected out of that grave and rose victorious over it and over my sin and over your sin. And he offers us, instead of hell, he offers us salvation that he already paid for with his blood. And I can't pay for mine, and you can't pay for your heaven. You can't even help and give God a discount. You can't do that. Why? Because our sins are so offensive in the sight of God that someone needs to be perfect to get to heaven. And you're not perfect. You've never been perfect. I've never been close to perfect. I wouldn't trust my best 15 minutes on earth to get me to heaven. And so what did God have to do? Either send us all to hell or find some way for someone who's perfect to pay it for us. And that's why Jesus came down and died on the cross for our sins. Went to the grave and then was resurrected again. And on the cross, he paid for our sin penalty. You're like, well, John, you know, I do pretty good. I've got some pretty good works. You know, I come to church here. I give some money in the offering. I'm nice to my neighbors. So you're trusting in your works, at least partially. And what did God say about that in Isaiah? And it's rough, and some of you don't like to hear it, but it is true. He says that all of our righteousnesses, all of my good works, God looks at them and says, they look like filthy rags to me. Now that's rough, but it's really rougher than that. The Bible translators used some euphemisms because it was so rough that they didn't want their readers to be offended and go, oh, dear Lord. That Hebrew word, you can look it up, filthy rags, comes from a woman's used menstrual cloth. That's how God sees when I come to him and I go, well, Lord, I'm helping you get me to heaven. Look at all these good things I've done. And God goes, do you realize how gross that is to me? Because you are so wicked, I had to send my son down there to die on the cross for your sins because it takes perfection to get to heaven. And he will give you his perfection on your soul if you say, I come to you with no works at all. I'm not trusting all my good works. I'm only trusting the blood of Jesus. And that's how I get in heaven. Some of you, you're where I was when I was 18, 19 years old in the Navy, and I'd been in church my whole life and thought I was okay and on my way to heaven, and I would have split hell wide open if I'd have died in an alcoholic car wreck back then. Till I realized in my Navy barracks room, wow, I've never received that gift of eternal life. I've been trusting in all my good works. But God says that disgusts him. And so, Lord, I just come to you and say, please give me eternal life. Please forgive my sins. Please save my soul. I'm a wicked, wicked person. And you said, though, that you'd save me if I asked you to, and I'm asking you to right now. October 21st, 1979, nobody else around, and he changed my life. And that is what this is about. The Jews could not comprehend that because they were all about, look at me. Look at how spiritual I am. Look at how long I pray. Jesus came and he wasn't what they expected. And so they said, no, thanks. No, not the Messiah for us. And because the Messiah was rejected and crucified, that leads to the next thing that's in the prophecy, the collapse of the city. After the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut. And this is all prophesied. And shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come, that's the Antichrist, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood. To the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed. The collapse of the city. God said, all right, because you killed my son, which was necessary in my plan to save people, but because you with evil hands did that, Jewish leaders, guess what? Your nation and your city is once again going to be leveled by the prince who is to come or his people. And that happened when the Roman general Titus in 70 AD came and totally annihilated Jerusalem. That was their punishment for not only rejecting, but killing the Son of God. And that last part, its end shall come with a flood. To the end there shall be war, desolations are decreed. That's a little clunky. And so I've got another translation here I think clears it up. The end will come with a flood and war, and its miseries are decreed from that time to the very end. In other words, something's going to happen, and it's going to be different in my program. What is that? God's going to call a timeout. A timeout in this period of weeks, in this 490 years. What do you mean a timeout, John? If you've ever watched the rockets shot up at Cape Canaveral, anybody seen those? Anybody seen them live? Yeah, and so that, but if you watch them even on TV, sometimes the count will begin, it's a long count, and it's counting, and then it stops. And they do whatever they do. I don't know what they do, but it stops for a while, and then it restarts. That is basically what God is doing. He's putting a hold on that. That whole 490 years, partway through it, he says, all right, pause that for a second. Or for more than a second. You're like, wait a second. Are you just trying to make scripture fit your understanding of the prophecy timeline, John? Not at all. We see God doing this all the time in the Bible, especially in the messianic prophecies. Well, what do you mean? They have the, many times the first coming, this is what blew the Jews' mind, and the second coming kind of wrapped together, and you will look at them and you're confused and differentiating them. This is the view of the Old Testament prophets. God gave them a prophecy, and they saw this mountain peak and this mountain peak. This is the first coming of Christ, and this is the second coming of Christ. And so they were especially interested in this because that's when the Messiah will come and rule and reign and kick all the, you know, foreigners out, and woo, we're going to be number one, we're number one, we're number one. They didn't pay a lot of attention, or they were confused by the prophecies like Isaiah 52, 53, Psalm 22 that showed that the Messiah must be crucified. They were like, not sure about that, but really digging this. And they totally missed the valley in between the two peaks, which we call the church age. Those 70 weeks total, 490 years, 69 of them have already, 69 times 7, 483 have already, they're done. Boom. They've been fulfilled. Bam, 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 bam. There's 1 week left. God's called a timeout. Why? Because Israel rejected her Messiah, her king. The Messiah was cut off. The temple was destroyed. The city was destroyed. And God says, all right, timeout. The clock has stopped ticking for Israel. And now God begins a new thing called the church. That's where we're at today. You're like, well, then he's done with the Jews. No, 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 no. He's got them paused. He's got one more week to work for them. These 70 weeks are very, they have a very distinct Jewish element. The Jews, the Bible calls them God's chosen people. They're my, even though they screw up so much. And that's why you got to be careful about how you talk about, and we see it in America today. I'm like, what are you people doing? What are you doing, you idiots? What you don't understand is God says, I will bless them who bless you, and I will curse them who curse you. They're not perfect. They got goober leaders like we got goober leaders, right? But you better be careful what you do with the Jews. Because God says, they're still my chosen people, even though I got them on pause. I'm going to unpause for one more week at the end. And I'm working through the church now, through the Gentiles. My people rejected me, so I'm going to go to the people who I had not called my people and make them my people. They are Gentiles. How many Gentiles we got here today? Come on, come on. All right? Now, some of you don't know. You're like, I'm not sure. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. All right? All right, there we go. So, most of us, if not all of us. And then Paul lays it out. He describes some of this. Are you tracking with me? You still with me? All right? If you're not, if your neighbor's asleep, just slap them. Real hard for the glory of God. All right. I asked then. So Paul was Jewish. He said, my heart goes out to my people, the Jews. They rejected the Messiah. I asked then, has God rejected his people? He's talking about the Jews. Has he said, okay, I'm done with you? No, by no means. They are broken off because of their unbelief, a partial hardening has come upon them until, all right, but then God's going to unpause it, the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Until God is done with the Gentiles, done with his church, until he's built that totally, then he'll unpause it. And in this way, all Israel will be saved in that last week, the 70th week, as it's written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. This is where we are today. We're living in the church age, if you want to call it that. The Bible calls it the time of the Gentiles, when God has put Israel on pause, allowed them to have hard hearts. It says a veil is, for the most part, most Jews have a veil over their hearts and souls. Don't understand who the Messiah is. La, 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 la. We're in the church age. This right here, this parenthesis. Well, how long is it going to last, John, till it done? That's why you can't tell. You say, well, we got these 490 years. We ought to be able to tell. No, 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 because there's a pause. And one day, we don't know how long it'll take for God to unpause it. We're going to look at that in a second. Till he's built a church out totally. Till the last soul is saved. And so, God says, you don't want my son? You're a Messiah? Okay, cool. I'm going to put you all on pause, and I'm going to reach the world through this new thing, because Israel was supposed to reach the world. The world back then had to come through Israel. You're going from here to Syria to Egypt, you had to go through Israel, and they were supposed to be the shining light on the hill. Like, hey, look at our God. It's one God. He's awesome. He's awesome. And Israel screwed up so bad. God goes, okay, all right. Number two, we're going to do my church. But one of these days, the church is going to be completed. The fullness of the Gentiles shall come in. He has it this way in the NLT. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. John, what's the full number of Gentiles? I have no idea. Millions, I'm sure, right? Because this has been going on for around 2,000 years. This pause, this parenthesis. But God knows when the final soul, when he goes, okay, that is my bride, the church, that's my elect. That is the last person to trust me. Unpause, and then some cool things happen. He's done with us. When he's done with us, what does he do with us? Takes us on a honeymoon. Yeah, we're called the bride of Christ. So he's going to take us on a 7-year honeymoon, and we'll look at that. So God will say, hey, see that? That's the last one right there. Boom. Church is complete. Bride is complete. Gabriel, blow your horn. And he'll start. Then he starts the countdown of the clock again for that final week, 70th week of Daniel, which brings us to point number two. Are you with me still? All right. Number two, Jesus will show up right on time the second time. He showed up right on time the first time. And so we know from his track record and the prophecies that are intermingled with each other that he's going to show up the right time, right on time the second time. Say, second time. Well, what's this thing about the second coming of Christ, John? It's the completion of the count. There's only 1 week left. We're in the parentheses, remember? The 69 are done. Boom, done. 2,000 years ago, God said, pause. And now, sometime, God's going to go, unpause. Last week, 7 years, there's 1 week left on God's prophetic clock. Verse 27. And he, now this is talking about the bad dude, Antichrist, shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half of the week, he shall put an end to sacrifice and offerings. And on the wing of abomination shall come one who makes desolate till the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. You're like, that is as clear as mud. Let me help you. The prince that shall come, that's the Antichrist, and he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. That's a peace treaty, mainly with the Jews. And there are other scriptures too. I had so much on this, and I had to cut. And I'm talking fast because I got more than I can squeeze in. But heck, we got all afternoon. Amen. Who's with me? All right. Now I need a nap. Leave me alone. he shall make a strong covenant, peace treaty, with many for 1 week. And for half of the week, he shall put an end to the sacrifice. So what's half of seven? Three and a half. Good. What is that? The Antichrist is going to come in. Short, you know, trying to make it shorter. And he's going to become a world leader. There's a bunch in the book of Daniel we'll see next week about some of this. And in Ezekiel and obviously Revelation. He is going to become a world leader. And at first it looks like he's a man of peace. And he's like, oh, poor Israel, man, everybody's against you. I'm the world leader now. I'll make a covenant with you, a pact, a peace treaty, whatever you want to call it, and I'll take care of you. And it's like, yay, oh, yay. And then halfway through the 7 weeks, 7 years, he says, forget y'all. And so we'll see what happens. So what does this mean? It means after the rapture of the church, the clock is going to start ticking for Israel again, 7 more years of Jewish history to complete this whole prophecy. We know this as the tribulation period, if you've ever paid attention. And then enter the prince who is to come, the Antichrist. And again, he comes in the name of peace. He's going to bring peace to the Middle East. Wow, he becomes leader of the whole world. He apparently will help the Jews rebuild their temple. Now, you know what's on the, and if I'm understanding, the Jews need to rebuild the temple on the foundation of the old temple, except there's a problem over there, and I've been there. There's something built on the old temple foundation. What is it? Dome of the Rock. Is the Dome of the Rock Jewish? Oh, no, it's Islamic. That thing that you see, when I went to Israel, in the Navy, and I took a tour of Jerusalem, and I saw that dome that, you know, that is beautiful. Man, those Jews know how to build buildings. No, that's not Jewish, that's Islamic. Because the Islamic folks have a part of Jerusalem. And you can't, I wanted a tour of it. No, I didn't even look at Islamic. Yeah, they ain't letting me in. And so that will have to be gone. Now, John, how's that going to happen? I don't know. At least I would think it'd have to be gone because they need to use the foundation of the old temple, if I understand it right. Something's going to happen. Back in the Iraq war. How many of you were around for that? The Iraq war. You remember that? All right. And the people, prophecy teachers, man, they were excited. And I was excited. Because here we go. It looks like the end times. And Saddam Hussein, man, there are books. I still have one on my shelf. How Saddam Hussein's the Antichrist. He's got a problem because he gone. But at that time, we thought, oh, man. And he's, oh. And then they're like, okay, well, man, the end is near. And so what's going to happen is these Scud missiles that are being shot into Jerusalem, one of those Scuds is going to go off, and it's going to hit the Dome of the Rock. It's going to explode, and then they're going to come in, they're going to level it, and they're going to rebuild the temple, and then they're going to start the institution of the sacrificial system, and then the Antichrist and all this stuff. And woo! Except that's been, what, 20 years ago? And that didn't happen. You have to be careful speculating, people. All right? But he shall make strong covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. But then halfway through the week, he's going to put an end. So they rebuild the temple. I believe they'd have to do it to institute the sacrificial system. And then halfway through the tribulation period, the Antichrist, instead of like, oh, man, I'm going to take care of you Jews. He's like, guess what? You got that nice temple? Now, guess what? I'm God. I'm going to come in the temple and set myself up as God, and y'all are going to worship me. And the Jews are like, we ain't going to worship you, dude. We thought you were cool. But we ain't going to worship you. And then he starts persecuting them. 2 Thessalonians, and again, there's so much prophecy on this. That day, that's the end, will not come until there's a great rebellion against God, and the man of lawlessness, that's the Antichrist, is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will even sit in the temple of God claiming that he himself is God. That's what he's going to do. But he's a man of peace. I don't know if I should say this, but what the heck. I have this is not political, this is just funny. I have two sisters. My one sister is a liberal Democrat. Super, super liberal Democrat. My other sister is a super, super, super conservative Republican. Family get-togethers are fun. But, and I'm going to make some of you mad. No, just it's a joke, all right? I said, when Trump started the Abraham Accords, I'm like, Karen, you may have voted for the Antichrist. She goes, oh, shut up. It's not even funny. But I had one of our ladies come up after the first service. I didn't say this the first time I said it. And she said, I was thinking the same. I was thinking, boy, I tell you what, do you think Trump's? I'm like, I hope not. He's supposed to be European. I think we're okay. I think he's supposed to. I don't know. God help us all. Run, run. Where am I at? I got no idea. The Antichrist then turns against the Jews. He's got all of the nations of the world kissing his butt. And so they're going to come at the Jews. They're going to wipe them out finally. All right, I had enough of you people. I tried to protect you. Y'all suck. And so I'm going to kill you. And they gather at a place called Armageddon. The demonic spirits gathered all the rulers. Look at this. We're going to look at this next week. I think next week or the week after. There are demons. There are angels and there are demons. And where you see evil, there is a demon behind that, stirring that pot, helping that culture of demonic attitude. The demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their army. So they went to the rulers like, hey, yeah, yeah, follow the Antichrist. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, man, you'll be promoted. It'll be awesome. And their armies to a place with a Hebrew named Armageddon. And you've heard about that. They're even stupid Hollywood movies that have nothing to do with Armageddon. But at Armageddon, and where's Armageddon? It's another translation of the word Megiddo. It's the Valley of Megiddo. If you've been in the military and you've been over here, your ship pulled into what? Tell me. Anybody? Haifa. Very good. That's where we docked, Haifa. That's just a hop, skip, and a jump. The Valley of Megiddo. It's this long, open plain. And they're going to gather, and they're going to march towards Jerusalem. But on the way, God's going to say, stop. And he's going to come out of heaven with armies of heaven and wipe them out. Hallelujah. And God's plan will be over. I mean, there will be the thousand-year reign of Christ. But Jesus will rule and reign in Jerusalem. Now, how many visual learners here? Visual learners? You like me? Okay, yeah. All right. Well, this is for you. And you can take a picture of it if you want. All right? Just going to have it up here for a few seconds. This is basically the 70 weeks of Daniel, as I understand it. Over here is when that announcement went out. Go ahead and rebuild that temple. Clock starts. Tick, 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 tick. And you've got the 483 years here when you add these together. That's already transpired. The 69, whoops, up to here. 69 weeks already done. 7 and 6 there. Messiah offered. Messiah rejected. God says, parentheses, pause button. And we're in the church age. And then when God says, all right, the last person trusted Jesus. Bam, right there. All right, Gabriel, blow that horn. And then the rapture, you're like, that's when Jesus comes back to the earth. No, it is not. Jesus comes back here, second coming. He doesn't come back to the earth here. The Bible says he comes where? In the clouds. Here's the clouds. He comes in the clouds. And we come up to meet him. This is going to be so cool. And that's how I want to go. I've told you I want to go preaching. All right? I want to be preaching and then just die in front of y'all. I don't want to go out in a hospital bed. I don't want to go out ailing. I know we don't have, but I tell God. All right, but I tell God, and I've not shared this, I don't think, with you. My first choice is rapture. Second choice is preaching at y'all. Because I don't see the look on your faces. But, and not today, not today. But it is going to be so cool for the people that when God says, all right, oh, that's the last person that trusted me. Oh, yeah, it might be in Bangladesh or, you know, wherever, Cuba or wherever. Man, that's all right, blow the horn. And here's the rapture. And we, the Bible says, who are alive and remain will be taken up with the folks who preceded us in the clouds. That's the rapture, to meet the Lord. We'll be with him forever. But you'll just be there and you won't be there. I mean, and I pray that it happens with me and Robin together. That's a nice thing, you know, it's kind of sweet. Rapture together. And I can imagine we're driving my truck down 460, you know, doing a little bit above the speed limit because, you know, you got to get home. And then, and we gone. And here comes the pagan the other way. And here's this big GMC. John, that's horrible. I just have a vivid imagination. So, anyway, rapture, all right. Boop, boop. There we go. Then that's the last week of the 70, 69 here, 1 week of 7 years, tribulation. Antichrist, whoa. Look at that. I have the power. Whoa. Halfway through. Dang it, stop now. Halfway. Peace treaty, stop. Peace treaty here, and then he comes in and says, I am God, oh, worship me. And then the huge attack on the Jews there. And it's going to be a revival in the Jews. They're going to be the 144,000. This, I'm just throwing this in. 144,000 are not Jehovah's Witnesses, in case you were confused. They are virgin male Jews. Most JWs that I've seen are not Jews. So they don't qualify. Virgin male Jews who are going to be little Billy Grahams running all around evangelizing, especially the Jews. And they're like, oh, man, he really is the Messiah. We're idiots. Oh, and it's a huge national revival in the midst of persecution. And at the end, God says, it's enough. He comes down. Here's Armageddon. Boom, explosion, explosion. And the Antichrist is thrown in the bottomless pit. Satan is put in the bottomless pit. Antichrist is sent to hell. And then we come into 1,000 years of Jesus ruling and reigning on the throne. Until at the end, let me take it over here. We have eternity future, new heaven, new earth. Heaven's round. I don't know why heaven's round. New earth. And it's going to be awesome. Amen? Yeah? So if you're not a Christian, sucks to be you. You ain't going to have any of this stuff or this stuff. You're going to have a bunch of that's fire, that stuff. That's what you're going to have. Now you say, John, okay, this, have you got all this stuff exactly right? Possibly not. I'll admit that to you. This is very detailed. You should have seen all the stuff I'm reading through. But I will say, this is what I believe to be the best literal understanding, Occam's razor understanding. What is Occam's razor? Occam's razor, many of you know what it is. It's what when you have the best interpretation is the simplest, makes the most sense interpretation. That's what this, when you take the Bible literally, when you believe the Bible, some scholars say, oh, well, I don't even believe that God could do miracles. I ain't going to listen to them. You're an idiot. You're going to hell. But, you know, other scholars vary a little bit in this and that and the other. That's fine. If we get to heaven and I just don't want you coming, and I'm going to heaven, hope you are, and I don't want you coming knocking my door on my mansion. Going, John, I think you were wrong in a couple of prophetic particulars. I will slap you hard. I'm in heaven. Leave me alone. I got ribs on in the back. It doesn't matter. You're here, right? I'm here. Hallelujah. Sorry I was wrong. I am not Jesus. So God wins at Armageddon. And because, hey, I'm not on the planning committee. I'm only on the welcoming committee, amen? I'm here to welcome Jesus when he comes back. But I do know if I have a detail wrong here or there, I can tell you this for a fact, what we know from Scripture for a fact, Jesus is coming back again, amen? He's coming back. As he left, they said, the angel said, as he left physically, he left visibly. He's going to return to the earth physically, visibly. This same Jesus, the same Messiah that came the first time is coming back the second time. He did it exactly as prophesied the first time, and he will do it, I guarantee you, as prophesied the second time. Hallelujah. Which brings me to you. What do you mean to me? Because what you're going through in your life, wondering why God doesn't show up on time. Number three, Jesus will show up right on time for your time. Right on time for your time. What do you mean? Love this, Ecclesiastes. God does everything just right and on time. But people can never completely understand what he's doing. Because his schedule ain't my schedule. But his time, he's just right and on time. Question. Why do we see what God has done with perfect sovereign timing in the first time he came and the second time he's going to come, and then look at that and go, yeah, man, that was right on time, and then question him about not being on time in our lives? Why? If you're a child of God, Jesus is going to show up. He's going to show up. He's got perfect timing for my personal trials. And your personal trials might not be the time that you want him to show up, but he'll show up on time. When I, like Peter, am sinking, he'll show up on time. When I, like Paul, am in jail, he'll show up on time. When I'm, like Elijah, am despairing and depressed, he's going to show up right on time. When I, like Esther, am taken, when I, like Peter, denied him, Peter figured he was done because I denied Jesus three times, and guess who showed up? After Peter had quit and said, I go fishing, Jesus showed up right on time. When I, like John the Revelator, am old and the only one of my generation left, and old John was on the Isle of Patmos, guess who showed up? Jesus showed up right on time and gave him the book of Revelation. Jesus is going to show up, people. Amen. What he's prophesied, he's fulfilled exactly right on time. He hasn't promised you the day or the hour, but he's just promised to be right on time. So trust him for that, because he's good for it, amen? God, we pray that you'll help us to grasp that. You are God and you are right on time. And it seems like sometimes you've forgotten us, but you promised. You don't forget your kids. You're going to show up exactly, perfectly on time. But help us to do what you've told us to do. We have not because we ask not. So help us to be asking you to show up, asking you to bring with you the things we need as you show up right on time. Lord, just work on our hearts. Forgive our lack of faith or listening to Satan. Now, where you are with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just real quick. Those of you that got stuff that you need him to show up, and that's most of us, right now, just real quick, just from the quietness of your heart to the quietness of his, why don't you tell him what that is? You're like, he knows, I know, but he said, I want you to ask me for what you need. So just tell him, Lord, I got this issue. I got this relationship. I got this marriage. I got this financial thing. I need you to show up. I need you to show up. It feels like you're late, but I want you to show up right on time. Tell him what it is. And tell him that you are going to be faithful to keep asking every day until he shows up, but you believe he'll be right on time. Lord, work in our hearts. And Lord, confound Satan in our lives. Do not let us listen to the voice of the destroyer, but may we listen to the clear word that you have given us in your Bible and right here specifically in the book of Daniel. And may we trust that because we're your kids, you're going to show up. It's going to be right on time. And all God's kids with calendars set, amen. Shelby, give it up. Don't you appreciate Shelby?